Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
But I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion. Because Jesus said, if you receive a little child, you receive me. So every abortion is the denial of receiving Jesus.
Welcome to Good Things Radio. That is, as you may have guessed, now Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta speaking in front of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and a room full of pastors and politicians at the National Prayer Breakfast. And pretty profound. So we're going to talk about that. Welcome to episode number 75. My name is Brooke Taylor. And on the show, we're going to honor the spirit of Mother Teresa in this way. Also Christ himself, who said, whatever you did to the least of these, you did it to me. It is Respect Life Month. It's also very close to voting day. In fact, early voting is underway in many states right now. So we're going to tackle that in a little bit of a different way. And it's interesting because in pulling that clip, I went back and I listened to her entire speech, which I really recommend. You can find it on YouTube. But she said something I thought was profound. She said, when you look at the exchange in scripture of Mary, when she goes to Elizabeth, when Mary was with child and visiting her cousin, Elizabeth, carrying John the Baptist, says, my baby leapt in my womb for joy. And that the unborn was the first one to proclaim the coming of Christ. Isn't that amazing? So the issue is important, especially though if you're Christian, and there's no question with the election that it's bound to come up. We, you know, every time, I think every cycle say, we're going to stay out of the gutter, we're going to take the high road, but somehow it just seems to only get worse. And not only, I think, with the candidates, which has just spiraled out of control, in my opinion, we are no longer talking about the issues and the needs of the citizens and the best interest of our country, but the controversies and the scandals surrounding the candidates. At the end of the day, though, in our own circles, we know that these topics remain and that some of the triggers can be pulled and really set off these heated debates. So we're going to talk about that because we're called to not back down and to also know thoughtfully what we're supposed to say, to be informed, to be loving, and to share the truth as revealed by Christ. So on this episode, we're going to do a little bit of that, approach that topic as best as possible. Father Nathan will join us. He's back, a resident padre in your pocket. So he has just priestly wisdom. He's going to talk about that. He's also going to talk about the gay marriage issue and some of the common questions that come up. Also, Planning 101, you guys were so fabulous with your feedback. And the last episode, number 74, we talked about that. We spoke with Erica from chaoticblessin.com. If you didn't hear that, by the way, I encourage you to go back and listen. It was so helpful because she just has really good tips about how to get organized. And I think especially now thinking about the holidays and how quickly we're going to go into that transition. Because after this election's over, it's almost Thanksgiving, and then it's going to be Advent and into Christmas. So her website, her mission really is all about preparing and planning and your organizer. It's really great. So you chimed in on that also. We're going to share a little bit of your feedback. What shows are you watching? We're finally going to tackle that. And I also want to invite you to an upcoming event totally free for friends, listeners in the Midwest as well. So as mentioned in the top of the show, this month, October, is Respect Life Month. It's in its 41st year, and I think it's never been more needed than right now. So given our show topic today, the upcoming election, I just want to start the program with Pope St. John Paul the Great's closing prayer. It's from Evangelium Vitae, if you would join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Mary, bright dawn of the new world, Mother of the living, to you we entrust the cause of life. Look down, O Mother, upon the vast numbers of babies not allowed to be born, to the poor whose lives are made difficult, of men and women who are victims of brutal violence, of the elderly, the sick, killed by indifference or out of misguided mercy. Grant that all who believe in your Son may proclaim the gospel of life with honesty and love to the people of our time. Obtain for them the grace to accept that gospel as a gift ever new, the joy of celebrating it with gratitude throughout their lives, and the courage to bear witness to it resolutely in order to build, together with all the people of goodwill, the civilization of truth and love, to the praise and glory of God, the Creator and Lover of life, God our Father, Giver of life. We entrust our nation, the United States of America, to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will. Through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land, grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Padre in your pocket, our good things great deal.
Okay, guys, so early voting is underway. Our country remains in a state of change and transformation, and there's a lot coming at us. So thank you to my dear friend, Father Nathan Crownlee, for this week's installment of Padre in Your Pocket. We're going to do things a little different this time around. And if you hear some background noise, my son is hauling the vacuum downstairs in a not so graceful manner. So my apologies if you hear some clanking. But we're going to cut out for a minute anyway, as Father Nathan Crownlee talks about this issue of life, pro-life, abortion, and via Voxer he's weighing in. So I'm going to just hand it to him. But these social issues that are flashpoints for a lot of us, and for good reason. So throughout the show, I'm going to sprinkle some wisdom in, because he's got a lot to say on this. For now, we're going to start with gay marriage.
This is Father Nathan with another Padre in Your Pocket here episode. I would like to talk about something that's very sensitive and very difficult for a lot of us. The rise today of couples who are of the same sex and who are applying to the legal protection of marriage is something that has been legitimized by the Supreme Court. And this has caused a lot of us a lot of questions, because it kind of can seem like, you know, in fact, this type of arrangement is the equivalent of two, and sometimes even better, a relationship than two persons of a heterosexual orientation. And if they love each other and they're faithful to each other and they show sacrifice and the willingness to put up in a relationship, who are we to condemn? I want to be very, very, very careful about this, because that question is, in a sense, a little bit unfair. The question of marriage is not a question of whether or not there's a good, committed, faithful, sacrificial, joyful relationship. That's a term that we use to bespeak friendship. Friendship is made for that. Can a friendship that's profound, intimate, completely committed, joyful, etc., exist between persons of the same sex? Well, I certainly hope so. Friendship belongs to the human heart. It's not defined by the body. What pertains to marital relationship and the difference between it and friendship is that a marital relationship gives the other person the right to usage of the reproductive faculties of their body. So the question then becomes, is it okay for people to use the reproductive faculties in a way that's absolutely impossible in any way, shape, or form to be reproductive? Is that a respect of the body to use it in a way that, in a sense, doesn't respect what it's for? I think you see where the argument is going. And there, the Catholic Church, it has always, from its very beginning, including the writings of St. Paul, for example, been very, very clear that, no, that's not the correct way to express the love that someone has. So therefore, the correction that the Church offers is not a correction of relationship. It's a correction of the use of the body in that relationship. This is a very important distinction, and one which it seems the majority of people today are just not making on a regular basis. And yet it needs to be made, because when people will respond to that in terms of saying that that's a hateful speech or a bigoted speech or a racist speech, you wonder, you know, if we can't you wonder what they mean, because the distinction has nothing to do with the people involved or their intention or their hearts. It's a simple question. Can the body be used correctly when it's the functionality of the body and its finality is not respected? And so there, it's not even a condemnation of the people involved. It's simply saying that that usage of the body is not correct. And if that usage of the body is not correct, then we need to do our best to not condone that and to help people who do use the body in that way to understand that there's a better way of using the body. And so it's a very sensitive question and one that has to be treated with a lot of respect, a lot of care, a lot of sensitivity. But the meat of the argument is there. How we then put it into words, that's got to be done with all of the love, the respect, and dignity that the people to whom we're speaking deserve. But at the same time, we have to be able to look logically at the situation and say, I'm not condemning anything that's good. I'm not condemning anything at all. I'm simply offering a guideline in terms of the use of the body and saying that the body has a purpose that needs to be respected. And if it's not being used according to that purpose, another light needs to be shown. I hope that this helps, and I hope that it spurs further reflection.
Thank you, Father Nathan, and God bless you. And I think it does prompt us to reflect on this issue. And I think what's so good about what he said there is to take into account the dignity of each person. I think it's important for all of us, no matter what situation we're in, to listen before we speak, to pray for the grace to speak with courage and wisdom and love and understanding, and also to strengthen our own family life, to have a sturdy foundation of love and mercy in our homes, and to instruct our children. I have found this has been one of the greatest challenges because I don't know what they're hearing. I'm not a homeschool mom, so they're not with me all the time, and they are in the marketplace, so to speak, and they are going to be hearing different points of view. And so it's so important that as they process it to the degree they're able, that we are doing our part to form them with the gift of supernatural grace that we've been entrusted with, and to also give the education. And I'm going to link up on the show notes a really good link, and it's from the USCCB. They have an entire page of resources that I think is just phenomenal. So I'm going to link that up on the show notes as well. That's kind of a side note to what Father Nathan said. So thank you. And just to kind of underline and highlight the end of what Father Nathan said, one of the things on the USCCB website that they say is this. They say there is to be no separation between one's faith and life in either public or private realms. All Catholics should act on their belief with a well-formed conscience based on sacred scripture and tradition. They should be a community of conscience within society. I love that. A community of conscience. That's pretty profound. By their voice and their vote, they should contribute to society's welfare and test its public life by the standards of right reason and gospel truth. Responsible citizenship is a virtue. Participation in the political process is a moral obligation. This is particularly urgent in light of the need to defend marriage and to oppose the legalization of same-sex unions as marriages. Married couples themselves, by the witness of their faithful, life-giving love, are the best advocates for marriage. By their example, they are the first teachers of the next generation about the dignity of marriage and the need to uphold it. As leaders of their family, that is our responsibility. Amen.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said the mail.
It's Vicki. I just want to leave you some feedback about the last podcast. I absolutely loved both interviews. In fact, in the middle of the podcast, I paused it just to go to both websites and check them both out. And in fact, I ordered a Cultivate the Lovely monthly pack from Erica's Chaotic Blessings website, and I'll let you know how that works out. I personally use a paper planner just because after listening to your last podcast with Andrea, I've been trying to be off my phone more, and I found an awesome Catholic planner that has space in it for reflections and for goals and for to-do lists. And there's a space there for reflections on the gospel. So it's a great planner. And I'm going to add the items that I ordered from Erica's website to this. So thank you so much. Keep up the great work. And God bless.
All right. Thank you, Vicki. And God bless you. And yes, the website Vicki referred to is chaoticblessin.com. I noticed in the last episode I kept calling it blessings, and I didn't catch it until after it was already published. So I'm banging my dashboard like, what's your problem? It's not plural. It's just singular. chaoticblessin.com. And also Ori's website that you mentioned, Vicki, it is ourgoodlife.org. And she was the guest who talked about adoption and being a foster mom, infertility, in faith, all really good stuff. And the funny thing about this whole planning thing, too, is that we kind of made it, and it is a market that's a ladies thing. I mean, there are guys out there that I know are into planners, too. And one of them, believe it or not, is my husband. So it's really funny because he's been a little jealous, not really, but he loves my stickers and the inserts and the washi tape and all the tabs. And I'm actually surprised that there isn't a market for this for men. Now, I know they have Franklin Covey. They do have men's organizers, but not like this necessarily. And so I think there's a need for it. I mean, can you imagine like a really cool leathery planner that smells like cigar smoke and then all the stuff that could go with it? We found one that there were like beard tabs. And so beard, which is B-E-A-R-D, not beer, although he might like those too. I like beard tabs too. But that's really all they had. One of the go-to places though that did address this just in terms of the function of planning, not necessarily selling planners and all the accessories, but it's The Art of Manliness. It is one of my favorite go-tos for over a decade. When I was on the morning show, I would frequent this website all the time for my show prep. Now they've morphed into a podcast. They have a YouTube channel, but one of the videos they have is all about planning and for men, the male sex, everything you'll need to know about planning. And the whole Art of Manliness website is all about that, being a man. So one of the videos, though, is all about planning. I want to just play a portion of it. Check it out.
The first thing that I do in my weekly plan session is perform what I call a mind dump in order to free up mental RAM. So during the week, our minds build up a giant list of stuff that needs to be done. You need to call mom back, do the laundry, respond to your backlog of emails, study, whatever. The problem with these loose ends camping up in our craniums is that they're subtly eating up our willpower, causing us to feel stressed out and mentally fatigued. These unfinished mental tasks are like programs you have running on your computer, but you aren't actually using.
So he goes on to say that it's just stuff swimming in our brain that needs to be let out and written down and to free up more memory in our mind. So just by sitting down, writing, it's called a brain dump, he says, you can clear your head. And he has a lot of really good practical video information for men, and I think women too. So I'm going to link it up in the show notes for you. One of the things too that I really liked is he goes on to say, what about my manliness do I want to cultivate this week? And it could be, do I want to write a letter to my wife? Do I want to learn a new skill? And I really appreciated that he's still trying to grow as a man in that formation. And that's all part of the Art of Manliness. And you can actually incorporate that into your planning. So good tips there. That's Art of Manliness. Chaya in California also has some good input.
Brooke, this is Chaya. I just wanted to leave a little feedback on your latest episode. It was so good. And I haven't really gotten into planners too much until the last year or two. And I don't do all the fancy art things. And although I would like to, I just don't have time to do that. But I wanted to share one thing with you and the listeners, is that there's this planner that I love. It's called My Faith Planner, and it was put together by this guy, a Catholic planner. And in the beginning it says Path to Sainthood, and it has goals for you to set for yourself to reach more saintly to be who God intends for you to be. And then each month there's the saint of the month and quotes from the saint. But then what I really love is that the beginning of each week has a line or two from that gospel from the next Sunday. So you get to read that gospel passage, and it encourages you to go and look up the full gospel passage and then reflect on it. And it has really helped my Sundays come, like I'm more focused, especially with small kids in the pews. And so it's really nice. And then the other thing I've done is I I may try to send you a link if I can find it later. But I looked up stickers of Catholic saint stickers for planners and calendars. And this family, I think they homeschool and it's their little apostolate. And they made little saint icons that are just like 1 centimeter by 1.5 centimeters. They're just tiny and they fit on the corner and they're just perfect for the planners. And so then when I'm doing things and my to-do lists are really long, it doesn't take up a whole lot of room, but it's a little gentle reminder, like, oh, look what's going on. And so that's been great. Anyway, I just wanted to share that little bit because it's funny that my planner has started to help bring me to be a better person. It's weird to say. Anyway, hope you're having a great day and thank you for all you do.
Thank you, Chaya. And Chaya's kiddo there, I loved it. No, I don't think you're weird at all that your planner has helped you make you a better person, because we need that structure and that order. I mean, and we've talked about this on the program too so many times. I think when we know that what we're doing with our days is well portioned and that it has purpose, it helps our lives feel more fulfilled and gives us more peace. So I totally am with that. I agree with you all the way. And I did find my faithfulplanner.com. I didn't see my faith planner, but there's so many out there. So that's one. I love the stickers. Great stuff. Thank you so much, Chaya.
My wife and I, that's the thing we love to do. We love to watch movies together. We got this thing, this Netflix. You got Netflix, y'all? It's awesome, man. We watch all the time. But it's too much. We're watching too many movies because it's starting to influence our arguments. It's so strange. She walks in the other day. Hey, did you leave your underwear on the bathroom floor? Are those your underwear on the bathroom floor? I hope so. That's a whole other conversation we need to have if it is. I want to know, did you leave her? I don't, what do you want from me? I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Honey, we live in a world where men leave their underwear on the bathroom floor and those underwear have to be picked up. Who's going to do it? You, the kids? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep over my Hanes. You curse my Fruit of the Looms. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that my laziness, while tragic, probably saved lives.
Oh my, isn't that the truth? Guys are so good with quotes, by the way. And I know that's not the actual quote from A Few Good Men, but they're so good at that in sound effects too. What I love about that Tim Hawkins reference is that most people know it because it was such a popular movie. And nowadays, there isn't like one show that the whole country watches. I think the last time that kind of happened was maybe American Idol in its heyday, but nothing like when we just had three channels and everybody always watched the Andy Griffith Show or something like that. And there's so much out there. So I think we need help finding good stuff. We have to help each other find good things. So Amazon, Netflix, cable, and not everyone has everything. So that's what makes it tough. But what are you watching? That's the question. For a while, it was Downton Abbey. That was the one show once a week my husband and I could not miss. It ended, and as I've lamented before, our lives have never been the same. But I know there are other good programs, too. So I wanted to read this email from Jenny. She said, "Hi, Brooke. Some favorites that I'm watching this fall include, number one, favorite series by far is on Netflix. It's called Peaky Blinders. It's about a British gang during the 20s. Action, romance, amazing characters. There is language. There is some sexual conduct, but I feel the characters and storyline make up for it. Do not watch it until the children are fast asleep." Okay, good. Thank you. That's what we need, Jenny, because they don't say that in the show description. Watch after kids are asleep. You wish they would. So thank you. And then number two, Poldark on Amazon. I've never heard of this. Poldark on Amazon Prime and PBS. It's based on the novels by Winston Graham. That sounds really intellectual, Jenny. Number three, Endeavor on Amazon Prime. It's a clever take on the crime series genre from the 60s. Okay. Number four, Foyle's War on Netflix. It's dramatic and clean detective series with good stories and likable characters. Okay, Foyle's War. Number five, My Italian Secret. A document, if it's got Italian in it, that's it. I'm hooked. So thank you, Jenny. I'm in. She said, a documentary about a Tour de France cyclist that aided the Pope in saving Jews during World War II. Oh, so it's a documentary. She said, it's just fantastic in all caps, and it is great for the whole family. All right, let's write that down. It's called My Italian Secret. That sounds really good. Thank you. And then number six, she said Lark Rise to Candleford on Amazon Prime. It's based on novels. It's cute and funny. Jenny, you need to be like our resident entertainment expert here. You've got a fantastic list. The only one I was going to say was Longmire. It reminded me a little bit of it when you said Peaky Blinders, Jenny, because it is a crime. I think it's out in Wyoming, and I've only seen two episodes. And like Peaky Blinders, because it's dealing with crime, it's like a marshal, a sheriff, you are going to have some of that. I think it's the very first episode. It's about human trafficking. But it's not done, I don't think, in a gratuitous way. It's part of the story, tells the story. So there you go. Some tips and takeaways as the weather changes and we're watching more TV. Thumbs up. Thank you so much, Jenny. If you have a show to recommend, just shoot us an email. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com or anything. If you want to chime in on the Padre in Your Pocket, you want to talk about shows, you want to talk about recipes, do not hesitate. You guys make this show. So it's feedback@goodthingsradio.com or on Voxer at Brooke Taylor and the number one. That's me. And that's how you can send a note. So please do. And as promised, Father Nathan has a bit of a part two as we observe Respect Life Month and also the election, the question of abortion. It is a woman's body. It's a right to choose. That's the argument that you hear from the pro-choice side. What's the best response to this?
Hi, ladies. This is Father Nathan, and I'm here with another Padre in Your Pocket. I wanted to talk with you a little bit about one of the arguments in favor of allowing people to have abortions or kill their unborn children, which we oftentimes hear saying that it's a woman's body, and since it's her body, she can do with it what she'd like. This argument was the chief argument driving the Supreme Court decision. When they legalized abortion, they legalized it as a right to privacy, just as a citizen has a right to his own home, so a woman has a right to her own body. And it seems like, you know, there's like some intellectual merit to it, right? It's not a dumb argument. Who is the government to be able to tell me that what I can't do with my body or what I can do with my body? It seems like it kind of holds water until you push it. And then you start to say, well, wait a second. The government tells me what I can and can't do with my body all the time. For example, the government would tell me that I have to move my body here if it's here. It's called eminent domain. I've placed my house and my body here, but the government has the right to move that in order to put a road through, for example. Or the government has the right to tell me that I can or cannot kill another person. I can or cannot use my body to inflict violence on another person. I'm not allowed to do what I want with my body. And then you could say, well, that's not what we mean. We mean it in like a surgical or medical way. And then we can kind of come back for a second and say, if we push that argument to its logical conclusion, we end up with a totally individualistic world where there is absolutely no guidance over what is good or what is bad with respect to what we do with our bodies. And this could lead to all kinds of different things. I could end up saying, for example, since you can't impose any kind of moral judgment upon what I do with my body, well, then I can mutilate not only myself, but I could even say to other people and encourage them to mutilate themselves. I could lead all kinds of children, for example, in some sort of strange ritual where we try to, you know, to change our bodies in various ways, and you wouldn't be able to stop that because every person can do what they want with their bodies. Our society would be full with all kinds of messaging about doing things that are bad for our bodies. I don't know, using drugs, for example. I mean, we all say, well, it's good that the government would say don't use drugs, but isn't that the government telling us what to do with our bodies? Doesn't the government have a fitness program in grade schools that encourages children to work out and to become physically fit? Aren't they saying what they should do with their bodies? You see, like, of course we should be able to say what we should and should not do with our bodies, because it is objectively possible for us to discern good from evil, good from bad, with respect to our bodies. It's good to eat lots of carrots. It's bad to eat lots of ice cream. We know this. And the should ends up following from what we see as good. Should follows from good, and should not follows from bad. And so if we know that it is good for a woman to carry her pregnancy to term, because then it's logical that our laws say she should do so. So then now we've put things in a better framework. And then we could say, well, is it good for her to terminate her pregnancy, that is, to kill the unborn child? And then suddenly the argument becomes even deeper, doesn't it? Because now all of a sudden, my friends, we recognize that, wait a second, what about the baby's body? So on the one hand, you're saying the government can't tell someone, no one can tell someone else what to do with their bodies, I guess, except the mother, and she can tell that her unborn child, that child had body has to die, and that she can tell that unborn child and force an unborn child to do something that it doesn't want to do. I know that it's an argument that we don't like to confront, but that other person in that womb has a body too. And in the name of saying, no one can tell me what to do with my body, you're actually enforcing a right that you have to dictate another person must die, whether they want to or not. There's a rather chilling video, and it's not that terrible compared to what we've seen, but it still is very chilling. Were made by Dr. Bernard Nathanson. It actually converted him. He was the head of the abortion process in the Cleveland hospital in Cleveland in the early 80s. And when they came out with the ability to image the child in the womb, he actually was able to watch his abortion for the first time taking place. And when he watched the video, he saw the child in the womb running away from the abortion apparatus that was coming into the womb. And it got to the very corner of the womb, and the child opened its mouth into what looked like a scream. So he made a film called The Silent Scream. And he walked out of that video, and he never performed another abortion. He made his peace with God, became a Roman Catholic, and a pro-life advocate. He went from abortion doctor, abortionist, to a pro-life advocate, because he saw that that child did not want what was happening to him. So when we're confronted with these arguments, we don't have to go that far, of course, but we do have to become rational. A mother who doesn't tell her child to brush his or her teeth is a bad mother. A dad that does not correct his son for hitting his child is a bad dad. Well, a government that does not impose upon its citizenry limits to what it can do with its own bodies is not fulfilling its true role of governing. Here with Pottery in Your Pocket, hoping I made you think a little bit more, it's Father Nathan. God bless you all.
There's a lot to contemplate in that message. Father Nathan, thank you for the perspective, for addressing that. I love your point about the true role of governing, and so many rich points. You do make us think, you always do. Thank you so much, Father Nathan. If you have a question for Father Nathan, shoot us an email, same thing, Voxer as well. He's a pretty special person. You can find out more about him at Eagle Eye Ministries, also saintjohninstitute.org, and saint is spelled out S-A-I-N-T, johninstitute.org. And finally, as we wrap up another episode this week, I just have an invitation. This is a little, and I don't know when you'll hear this downloaded and get this podcast, but for what it's worth and whoever hears it and trusting it to the Holy Spirit, I just want to invite anyone who's in the Midwest or knows someone in the Midwest. I'll be flying to Silvis, Illinois. It's considered part of the Quad Cities, and I'll be speaking at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church the weekend of October 21st. I'm actually there on Friday. I'll give a talk in the evening. The next day, it's a full day. It's hot lunch. It's two talks. It's a weekend that also includes confession and mass and reconciliation. All of it is completely free. So if you have a girlfriend, if you're in that area, someone that you know could use a weekend like this, please let them know about it. Again, it's Our Lady of Guadalupe Church. It's in Silvis, Illinois. If you have any questions, just let me know, but that's the deal. Also, thank you to anyone who said yes to the Arise Retreat. We have less than 15 tickets left for that amazing event. And even if you're not going, thank you. Thank you just for listening, for praying, for supporting. And if you're still thinking about it, there is room, but we are so grateful for your yes and how quickly the tickets have sold. Also, and finally, a little bit of a developing update regarding our pilgrimage to the Holy Land and an invitation for you to come along with us on November of next year, 2017. We hope you can be a part of it. So I'll spill the beans and give you all the details on that episode too. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of episode number 75. Hard to believe we're at this point, but you are part of making that happen. Thank you. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So to find out more, reach him at cumminghomestudio.com. Thank you so much, Podbean patrons. Your support is the reason our show is here. I am grateful beyond words for the way you boost the show. You keep us going. And if you're listening, you're not a patron, but would like to be, please, we need you. We would love that. Just click on the link in the show notes where it says become a patron, support the show. You can donate $1 a show, $20 a month. There's no minimum. There's no maximum. And with your support, we're able to keep the show going and growing. Thank you so much. God bless you in all the things that you have on your plate and in your planner, in your life right now. I wish you peace. I wish you God's grace upon you. And on the next show, we'll be coming to you from the road again, from Silvis, Illinois, and the party that is hundreds of Catholic women. So until next time, friends, Gus says goodbye as he's sifting through his Nerf gun box. And we wish you a blessed week. God bless you.